Welcome to the Exceptionally Irresistible Show, featuring conversations with people who have demonstrated exceptional success in their lives and who have some irresistible qualities worth learning from. Come learn how others have created an exceptionally irresistible life. You too can live an extraordinary life, both personally and professionally. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode, an exciting episode of the Exceptionally Irresistible Show. As you know, we have the most incredible, most awesome, exceptionally irresistible guests lined up for you. Their stories are so special. Either it is a lesson or it is something that they're actually living. And today we have a guest for you. It is not just any guest, not just any person. This is an individual who helps people find jobs. Yes, he's a recruiter, but not just any recruiter. He has a special way of how he does his recruitments. He helps people find that job, but not just any job, the job that is perfectly right for them, that is aligned with their vision, with their mission, with who they are deep inside. How many recruiters actually take the time to focus in on the individual? I see it as so exceptional because not only is it beneficial for the individual who's going to get a job, but also for the employer. Imagine you as an employer who is almost guaranteed to get a person who is truly a good candidate for you. This individual, this guest that we're about to bring, is also a coach, and he has so many incredible things to share with us. So I don't want to keep you hanging too much, but I want to bring in Shlomo Meisels. He is one of my favorite recruiters out there. Shlomo, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really great. Thank you, Jeremy. With that kind of introduction, how could I be doing poorly? I appreciate all that. Wow.
Absolute pleasure. So Shlomo, let's jump right into it. Tell me, what is your driving force? What are you about?
Yeah. So I'm so glad you asked. I think the number one thing that I personally focus on is trying to help people really figure out what they want to do and what they love doing, and then to do that. I think a lot of times there are a lot of stresses and pressures that come with life, having to support yourself, your family, yeah, the people around you, pay your bills. And those are all massive priorities. And sometimes, unfortunately, those priorities sometimes get in the way of doing what you actually love and what actually speaks you and gives you purpose. And because of that, a lot of people really aren't happy within their jobs. And so what I really try to do is teach people of alternative ways to find that love and passion and purpose, either through their current job, through another job, or through a side hustle or a passion project. And that's really what I try to help people with in the job seeking world.
Wow. And you know, that is something that is, and what I find so fascinating is that especially now during the time, and I think like people are saying that it's like after COVID and after, you know, all these things, the great resignation or the great reshuffle or all the names that they're, you know, using and stuff, and the staggering statistics of what is it now, 1 in 4 are leaving their jobs or something like that. Crazy, crazy things. And this is really so appropriate to really say, I think what really happened is that people are taking a moment and saying, what is this about? You know, do I deserve this kind of relationship with my employer, whatever it may be? Do I deserve how I'm being treated? Do I deserve, or do I even deserve better, right? And I guess what you're sharing and what you're saying is that these are the people that you're really focusing on to help them discover that, to help them discover that deeper inner purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I think a big thing that we focus on as well is, and I think this is what really separates us, SM Staffing being, you know, from any other agency. And of course, every agency is beautiful and amazing in their own ways. But I think what really we focus on is matching people up culturally and personality-wise, as opposed to just matching on paper. I think it's really important, obviously, to have the proper experience, proper background, proper skills for every role. But I think that, as you mentioned, you know, retention of candidates at certain companies and at every company really is a massive struggle these days. And a large piece of that is because of the lack of cultural fit. You want to enjoy your environment. You want to enjoy the people who you work with. You want to share the same values and goals. And if those don't align, the longevity of being at that role goes down a ton significantly if those things aren't aligned. And so that's really a big, big point that we focus on when we're speaking with clients and companies saying, hey, I want to know all about your position, but I also really want to know about your day-to-day, your culture, your personalities that are currently in the office, what personalities you want to add to the office, who thrives with you and who doesn't. So we can match you with people both personality-wise and on paper. And the results of that are massively significant. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's one more thing that's coming to me, and it's a reminder of my great late grandmother. She used to always say, don't ever get into a sick bed twice. You know, she was referring obviously to marriages and relationships. That was the context what she shared that with. But I find the similarity in what you're saying is that, look, if an individual, a candidate, is finding difficulty in their job and they're, for whatever reason, they're looking for something else, well, think about it. Are you going to get into that same sick bed again?
Yeah.
Are you going to get into that? Are you going to fall in that same hole? So they really need somebody like you to really help guide them. And also kind of almost like what employer also wants this, this individual who's just job hopping, you know, 3 months down the line, they need to be coming, calling you again, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's actually a big thing that we focus on, through our career coaching, that we do. We really evaluate previous roles and previous experiences that people had at their previous positions. And we try to highlight, what are the pros? What are the things you really loved in your last role? What are the things that you didn't really like so much in your last role? Because that's a major question that people have when leaving a position. Like, hey, I don't even know what I really want to do. Like, I kind of took this job because I needed some money, or I thought maybe I would like this, but I really didn't, you know? And maybe even I went to school for this and they tried it out and they're really lost. You know, they're really like, hey, I just invested all this time and this energy into this thing, and now I'm unsure what I want to do. A large piece of that is trying to, you know, salvage something from their experiences, being, hey, what did you really love and what did you not love? And let's find something that doesn't include the things that you didn't like and that really includes the things that you did like. And we present that to them with those options, and they're able to really try things out and gain clarity as to what they want to do. And then we put them on the right track to achieve that and to hit those positions.
Love it. Love it. So basically, to summarize, like in your own words, if you were to stand on some rooftop out there somewhere, you know, what's that thing you want to scream out to the world that you want everybody to hear?
Yeah. The major thing that the conversation that I have the most with people, especially, you know, people in college or younger people or people starting the workforce and people who are, you know, struggling to find meaning and happiness in their role, is just try things, try new things. And it goes hand in hand with what I mentioned before, being that, you know, what did you like? What did you not like? I find that a lot of times, as I mentioned earlier, people feel bound, by, you know, the ups and downs of life and having to pay their bills and have responsibilities and have a steady paycheck. But a lot of times they're doing those things without actually loving what they do. And so I really advise people a lot on having a passion project on the side, or having a side hustle, or something that they can really sink their teeth into, that they can potentially grow to be their main hustle and their main business down the line. But it really is an energy builder, meaning I can go through my work and now there's a new sense of meaning towards my day-to-day. It's not just me trying to survive. It's not just me trying to make ends meet. It's more like I'm giving myself the ability and the resources to invest into what I really love, into whatever the side project is. And the mentality shift there is unbelievably effective, because it takes what I'm doing as, like, I'm trying to prevent the negative to actively trying to promote a positive. I'm trying to feed into this new thing that I'm interested in doing, this new passion, this new hobby. And through that, you're able to potentially grow that to be the thing that you want to do full time. I always talk about back when I was in yeshiva, I was in Shana Aleph. I saw all these like side hustles and side businesses that people had, like dry cleaning business, they had like donuts. You know, somebody was like hooked up with some pastry company and they brought donuts and lulav and esrogim sales on before Sukkot. And I saw those people. And I was like, wow, like look at them. They're doing business. They're trying things. And Shana Bet, I took it upon myself to pretty much take on every business. And I didn't like, you know, create a competition. They left, those guys, you know, who were in Shana Bet, they left and I just took over the businesses. And what was beautiful about that was I was able to see like, hey, do I like this type of style of business? Do I like how this is run? What are the pros and cons? And I really just took the opportunity that was in front of me and I grabbed it by the reins and I tried it. People would come up to me and say, hey, how did you get involved in all these businesses? Like who gave it to you? I said, nobody gave it to me. I went out and I requested to take advantage of it, you know, to try things. And that taught me a lot, even in a place like yeshiva where business isn't necessarily your priority. But I was able to on the side really see what I wanted to do and try things that I was really passionate about. And that really put me on a good path coming out of yeshiva as to, where do I want to direct my life? What type of businesses or styles of business do I like doing? And that's a major question, especially young people have is, you know, what am I going to do? Which was great.
And just for the listeners, you know, Shlomo was sharing a lot about rabbinical college, which is yeshiva, and different lingo that goes around the yeshiva world, the rabbinical college world. But for your benefit, I'm going to put into the show notes a little glossary of all the lingo so that you get the full extent of the story, which I find it so impactful because it's very important that, you know, and I'm fully in agreement with you, Shlomo. I think that, you know, being an employee, you know, I came out of, you know, the workforce a few years ago, but when I was an employee, I needed something, some kind of side something, my day-to-day grind, just to kind of fill up my own cup in a sense, you know, I needed something to do on the side that also brought me some more fulfillment. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I loved my job. My job was very fulfilling. I was doing great work. I was helping so many people. I was going to bed every night very grateful for having the job, but I still needed something that was mine, something that I could say, this is me, this is mine. And I would love to hear your comment on that, but I also want, tying in some kind of reassurance to the employer. The employer might worry that, oh, is my employee getting distracted with something of their own thing? And maybe they're losing, maybe they're not getting 100% of their employee. That could be a legitimate concern that some employers may have.
No, that's a really good question. And definitely something that probably some people, employers listening to this might have had that same question. So I'm happy you brought it up. So first of all, I always advise the companies and clients who I work with to always have open communication with their employees. I think knowing your employees, part of that culture building and part of that, you know, having an environment that people enjoy working at, is having this open dialogue of like, hey, how are things going? How has business been for you? Have you been enjoying the work? Is there anything we can help with? I know in my own company, I always do follow-ups with my recruiters saying like, hey, what part of the process do you think we can improve on? What things are you getting caught up on? Things that are struggling, that you're struggling with, or things that you really love doing that maybe we can highlight and get you doing more of. And I think being open with your employees and saying like, hey, like if you have this passion project, that's awesome. I love that. You know, how can we aid you in that process? I think loyalty is given when it is received, especially, right? If a person knows that you're backing them in their passion projects, in addition to just, you know, doing your work, they want to come to work and they don't want to necessarily leave you or leave you high and dry or anything like that by any means. And potentially they might be able to help them. I know myself, I had a recruiter who was working for me and she really had this passion for, you know, a different industry. And I helped her actually get a job in a different industry. And later down the line, you know, she said, hey, my new company that I'm working with, that I'm really loving what I'm doing, we need a hire. Can you help? And so you kind of create that symbiotic relationship with people when you have that opening. And I think that it's also like I said before, having your own passion project is a rejuvenation to your energy. And I think that employers might even welcome it, because having, like I mentioned, when you come into work with a new mentality of like, I'm working really hard so I can now do more on my off time. It doesn't take away. It shouldn't take away your work that you're doing. If anything, it should rejuvenate you and say, I want to work harder so I can continue to support myself now, or maybe even climb the ranks a little bit so I can have more resources to do what I'm doing. And that's true even if it's not a side hustle, if it's even just a hobby. You know, I know a lot of people play golf. Golf is an expensive sport. So if you want to be able to hit on the greens or whatever they call it, you know, you need to be able to support yourself there. So working harder might actually help there. So that's what I would say there.
No, and I fully agree. And again, drawing from my experience, the side hustle, let's call it, that I had, was actually tied in very much to what I was doing full time. In fact, it was aiding it. I was learning new skills through this side hustle. I was learning new avenues. I was bringing creativity to work because I had those creativity juices going in this other side thing. And there was a lot of overlap. And my employer at the time also, he very much facilitated this side thing. He saw, at first he was hesitant in the beginning. He was. But we had the conversation and I told him, hey, give me a few weeks. Let me try this out and let me show you, let me demonstrate to you how you will see a better version of year me coming to work every day. And the moment he saw that, he was opening doors for me. He was making introductions for me, you know, like he was so supportive. And you're right, that loyalty was there, you know, and back and forth until today. We're still great friends and we still, you know, refer each other and we talk to each other and we do all that stuff. And you're right on the ball. And one more thing, you know, we had this discussion already. In my background, in my education, we did a study. And one of three things that we found was people don't like one of the issues that employees have at work and why they're looking for other work is primarily because they feel enslaved to their 9-to-5. They feel like their entire life is their 9-to-5. And when we discovered it, it was throughout COVID, all of a sudden people were realizing they're now at home, they're full-time at home, they're locked in and whatever it is. And all of a sudden they remembered, oh my gosh, I have loved ones, you know? Yeah. I have a spouse, I have a child, I have hobbies, I wanted to do painting. I wanted to paint for so long. And all of a sudden I have the time to paint, and they felt so much better. I had time to read. I had time to take on a course. I had time, fill in the blank, you know? And then they were like, oh shoot, do I have to actually go back to work now? And I actually have to, and they felt that tear. They felt that icky feeling, you know?
Yes.
So what you're saying is so critical. And I really hope that if there's any employers listening to this, really consider this, because that is true loyalty. You want your employee to work at 100%, allow them to have external, I guess, somewhere to take out that energy on.
Yeah, for sure. I think I saw somewhere, have you ever heard of Simon Sinek? Is I think how you say
yes,
his last name?
Yeah.
He said something beautiful and it stuck with me a while back. He was referring to the chain of command and communication, this idea that that goes around, especially in, you know, the service industry, that like the customer is always right, you know? And he was saying like this idea that the customer is always right is right to an extent, but if you put that above the happiness of your own employees to such a degree, you lose the trust in your own employee, and they end up not wanting to even give that benefit of the doubt to the customers to begin with. Meaning if they need to trust that in any scenario coming into work, you have their back, because those are the people that are your people facing employees. You want those people to represent you in the best way. And if they don't feel the trust from you as a higher up, then they're too nervous to really give the best representation that you're looking for. And I think that's massive. And that mentality as an employer is crucial to the happiness of your own employees and therefore the success of your employees. If people, if your employees are happy, they'll work better. They'll work harder. That's just how, you know, human psyche is. And I think you're right. COVID also was a big, well, as bad as it was, gave a lot of people the opportunity to reconnect with their family, with their passions, with their hobbies. A lot of people started side hustles and businesses during COVID. I don't know if you noticed this, but from a recruiting perspective, we had a lot of small businesses reaching out around COVID saying like, wow, we're growing. We need like a secretary. We need somebody to do our sales for us. But all these small companies that came out of nowhere and they're all like, yeah, we started during COVID, you know? You know, some of them unfortunately got fired. Some unfortunately just had more time on their hands. And they were able to really get in touch with those passions and create businesses out of them. And that's one of the things that we really try to highlight and teach people through our coaching program.
Sure. And you know, I had a conversation with somebody recently and they felt that this has something to do with I guess where we are in our culture, where we are in our society now, a generational thing, perhaps. You know, this individual particularly, I'm not going to give any identifying factors because whatever, but they felt that these older, you know, employers or these older employees and versus the younger ones, you know, just different messages relate to different people. I mean, what we're talking about here, to us, it makes sense. Maybe right. to many listeners, it makes sense. But maybe some people are not fully relating to this. And listen, it's okay. Not all messages, you know, relate with everybody. But what are you finding, Shlomo? Who are the typical people that you are seeing that are, you know, every time they talk to you, they're just kind of like bobblehead, you know? Like, what are you noticing?
I find that at least with the message that I often am spreading, it's not necessarily because I'm walking around spreading them, but it's more that these are the conversations that are constantly being brought up to me, meaning questions that, you know, young people looking for work or people who have been working for the past couple of years and haven't found, you know, fulfillment, or people coming out of college, they have these questions swirling in their heads like, you know, this is going to be my, you know, a third of my day for the rest of my life. And, you know, assuming that one third is also you sleeping, you know, this is like, this is a major part of my life that's coming up. And how am I supposed to live with this? This is a major decision. You know, like people will come up to me and they'll say, this is just as big of a decision. Maybe not just as big, but close to that as who I'm going to marry. Like, this is who I'm spending the rest of my time with.
Ooh, actually.
You know,
yeah.
This is, I spend more time at work than I do at home. You know, I have to make sure that I'm happy. I have to make sure that I'm enjoying it, or else how am I supposed to have the energy to give to my family when I get home?
Right.
How am I supposed to, you know, look at myself in the mirror every morning and be excited for work? And so I find that those people, usually the younger crowd of in college or coming out of, you know, their first couple years of work, or even people who have been working for 5-10 years and they think it's time for a change. You know, it's, they hit that wall where they're like, I don't know if I keep doing this anymore. And those are the people that will come to me and say, Shlomo, you're a recruiter, you're a coach. Like, what do I do? Like, what is your advice? Like, where do I go from here? I can't keep doing it how I'm doing. Or, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing it the right way the first time so I don't hit the wall later down the line. And those are a lot of the people that I have these conversations with and who find value in it.
Yeah. And something that, and another thing of the many things that I admire about you is that, you know, I wish coming out of college, I had somebody who was really there saying, hey, you know, let's dig deep into who you are. I mean, granted, I knew I did that. I was that kind of guy, but still I would have liked to go to a recruiter, which by the way I did, but I always felt that these recruiters were kind of like, give me your resume, give me a cover letter, give me give me paper, basically, and let me match paper to paper. I'd never felt being matched human to human. And what I hear from you, what you're sharing is really that, particularly from a college graduate perspective, when, you know, you're in that comfort of the college room, you know, the school room, the whatever it is, you know, you're in that comfort, you're in the safety bubble. People that you know, your colleagues, your friends, your whatever, and all of a sudden you're out in the big wide world, you know, and what are you supposed to do? And obviously, you know, and I like, and one more thing that you said was those who were in the job force for a while, and again, they were almost similar in that same bubble, in that same, you know, maybe they stayed in that job because, well, it was just comfortable. And then they had enough because, well, you know what? I'm not being treated well and it's time to look for something else. I hit a plateau maybe and it's time to like move on and do something else. They really need a person who's going to sit down and say, listen, I'm not just matching paper to paper. I'm dealing with humans, you know?
Right.
So I love what you're sharing here. That's to me really exceptionally irresistible.
Thank you. And it really kind of boils down to kind of one of the questions you asked me last time we spoke, which was, you know, who is my like motivator or who is the person in my life to make
me? Well, I was about to ask where you draw your inspiration from. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as I answered there, like, mm-hmm. I think the major, I guess, draw and push is that I didn't have that guy when I was in college or that girl who I can come to and say, hey, where do I go from here? Like, what's the advice? You know, like I had my parents, of course, who I can ask. And, you know, you had your teachers and your mentors, but it's really hard to get a good feel from somebody who didn't actually do it.
Well, professional,
or a professional or somebody who can connect you with somebody who actually, you know, is in the field. And so I found that this was a major hole that both myself and a lot of my friends at the time were struggling with. And I wanted to be that guy that can come in and say, hey, let me help you out with this because I know this is a major decision and I know this is a major concern and there's not a lot of great resources that can put you on the right track. So let me be able to be that guy for you since I didn't have one myself. And I think that you're right. Unfortunately, a lot of hiring managers and recruiters are pushing papers and saying, hey, I just want to make my commission. I have a job too that I have to do, you know, and I have to support my family. And so just getting placements is a major factor and a major drive for a lot of recruiters. But I found that, you know, like you said, these are people, these are humans, you know, a lot of people will say recruiting is sales, but I don't call recruiting sales because sales is when you sell a product or a service and we're not selling people. That's illegal.
Sure.
We don't sell people, but we sell potential and we sell, but it's not sales. It's recruiting. It's people, it's humans. And that's how you need to view the process. These are people's lives. These are people's futures. You know, when they are 10 years down the line, you want them to be able to say, I was able to support my family. And being somebody who's in a position to really be a major factor in that is a huge responsibility. And so I try to treat it as such.
Wow. Guys, this is it, right? You heard it, you saw it, you know, this is what we're talking about. This is why, you know, let me just very briefly summarize a lesson that I took away here is that really what Shlomo was saying so amazingly, so incredibly, is that it's really this idea of, you know, if something's not working for you, now he's talking obviously about, Shlomo's talking about recruitment, he's talking about jobs, but this could also apply in your day-to-day business, in your day-to-day life, okay, that if something is not moving the right direction, that needle is not pointing in the right direction, it's time to ask those difficult questions. Well, why not? You know, my mentor says that most people lack happiness because their life is just not congruent with their core values. And what's nice about Shlomo and his service is that he's not just a recruiter, but he's a coach too. He sits, he takes the time to really focus on the individual that's in front of him. Because like you just heard, Shlomo's inspired by the fact that he's connecting people. And these are people who are going to earn a livelihood, which is important, you know? And he really sees it. And I'm reiterating what Shlomo has been saying so well, is that he really sees people and their long-term sustainability in whatever they choose to do, whether it's going to be their own side hustle, their own business, maybe a combination of both. Not everybody is that entrepreneur that could handle a business of their own. You know, I'm a huge proponent of that. I talk a lot about it, that, you know, we need that balance, that harmony. There are those who are leaders who are going to run businesses, and there are those who do better at supporting those leaders and those businesses, as long as the values and the vision and the mission align. And that's what Shlomo, what we just heard, does, all right? So that, you know, guys, you guys have to connect with this man. This man is the real deal, you know. Find him in the show notes. There's going to be all the links that Shlomo shared with me to share with you. But Shlomo, what is the best way to connect with you?
Best way to connect with me is either A, on LinkedIn. My name's Shlomo Maisels. You can look me up there. Also via our website, smstaffingjobs.com, or my email, Maisels@smstaffingllc.com. Would love to hear from everybody. Would love to be able to help anybody, even if you just want to chat and get to know each other. One thing I also love to do is I have a new thing that I just started. I think maybe I'll plug it real quick here.
Sure,
I have
please.
a referral list where I like to just meet people and refer them business
Wow.
and try to spread as much business around people as I can. You know, everyone's trying to help everybody else out. And a lot of times people come to me and ask me for, where do I find this service or this product? So I have created a list, a Google Sheet of all the people that I'm meeting and everything that they do. So I'm able to refer business to everybody. So even if
Wow.
you just want to get to know each other, hock around, meet each other, speak, and I'd be happy to do so, and maybe even send you some business or maybe help you out in a job capacity. But yeah, would love to hear from everybody.
There you heard it, folks. That wraps up our season, our episode. Wow, I'm like so early on in the season, already talking about seasons, but that wraps up this episode from the Exceptionally Irresistible. We just interviewed Shlomo, the exceptionally irresistible individual, lives it, breathes it. I hope you took as much inspiration as I did. I loved this show. I love Shlomo. I'm definitely hooking up with Shlomo to, refer business to, always connect with him. He is truly, truly an individual that is well worth your time, energy, effort, etc. So that's it for today. Thank you guys so much for showing up and for listening. And until next time, we'll see you. That's it for this week's episode of the Exceptionally Irresistible Show. What has inspired you to take action in your life? Take action now. Take the first step, share it with a friend, or write it in a journal. Subscribe and share this episode, and remember, you too are exceptionally irresistible.